Has anyone else been battling unsightly weeds this year? Like, whether you're a farmer or a gardener or just have a lawn and yard to care for, it's like they grow up everywhere. Now, this coming week with the heat, I don't know if they'll continue growing, but it's like they are growing like mad. It's amazing how quickly and how easily weeds sneak in. It just seems like they spring up overnight. Seems like they can survive in any location. If only our plants, our fruits and vegetables and flowers would be so hardy and grow so easily. I think it's funny when you go into the gardening section at a store, there are basically two sections there. It's sort of the grow stuff section and the kill stuff section. You got your choice of which one you want to go there depending on your goals. But we heard in today's parable, and I hope you brought your Bible with you this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 13. We heard in this parable from our Lord Jesus about weeds that were intentionally planted in the field. Intentionally planting weeds. It's like a really cruel practical joke of sorts that takes place in this parable. And Jesus helps us understand the teaching here, and it speaks to the people of God's kingdom. And you notice there, the people, which are the good seed and the wheat that grows up in that field, they grow right alongside those weeds. They grow right alongside them. See, because God knows who his people are. God knows who belong to him. And at the end of the age, we see in this parable, the harvesters come. At the end of the age, he's going to judge all people. And it will be those who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord that will be counted as righteous, that he will then take to store in his barn. So I want to encourage us with this parable today. For those of us who are putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are people of his kingdom. We are the wheat that's growing in the field. And so we stand apart from, we are distinguished from, we are unique visibly from the evil ones of this world. And yet we grow and live together in this world until the return of Jesus. And then, yes, the wheat will be separated from the weeds. And so that's what we're going to talk about together today. So let me introduce myself. I am the son of Dan. I'm thrilled that you're with us this morning. I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. So last week, we kicked off our summer sermon series. We're going through parables of Jesus. And so we're going to continue that this morning. We talked last week about the parable of the sower. This is also in Matthew chapter 13. The Lord wants us to hear the word of God and dwell in the word of God as good soil and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. And so this next parable, the parable of the weeds, comes right after. So again, if you have your Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to take it, open it, and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Christy read this parable for us just a few moments ago. The man plants his field, the enemy comes and sows weeds. His servants notice, and they ask, should we pull up the weeds? Now, this is significant. This is significant. Should we pull up the weeds? And what does the farmer say? He says, yeah, get rid of those things. He says, no. Don't pull up the weeds. He says, if you pull up the weeds, you'll also uproot the wheat. You'll damage the good crop when your business is about rooting out and weeding through and pulling up those who are weeds. He says, we're just going to wait until the time of the harvest. That's when the weeds will be taken care of. They're going to be separated, they're going to be bundled, and they're going to be thrown up into the furnace while the wheat will be stored in his barn. That's the story that he tells. By the way, did you hear about the farmer who had the wooden tractor? Alex, I wanted to make sure you heard this joke. You didn't hear about the farmer who had the wooden tractor? Everything about it was wooden. It had wooden wheels, wooden engine, wooden transmission, wooden work. Turn to verse 36. We're in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus gives the explanation for this particular parable. It says, he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. We want to understand what is being told here. Remember, these parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. There's a biblical scriptural truth that runs right alongside a captivating story. And so he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, the harvesters, the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And he says, whoever has ears. Whoever has ears, let them hear. He longs for us to have insight into the things of the kingdom. We talked about that last week. He longs for us to have eyes that see and ears that hear the truth of God's word. And so I pray you hear clearly the truth of God's word today. He explains this in really very clear detail. The farmer, the one who sows the seed, that's Jesus, the Son of Man. The field, that's the world. Good seed, people of God's kingdom. Weeds, evil people. So who was the enemy who planted the weeds? Somebody help me out. Satan did it. That's the spiritual adversary, the work of our enemy. He's the one who is planting these weeds. And Jesus says the harvest, that's the end of the age. That's when it's all over. It's all said and done. The choices we made in this short life are going to then impact all of eternity. Let's go back and look at verse 27 from the parable itself. This is when the servants discover the weeds and they go, the owner's servants came back to him and they say, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Well then, where did the weeds come from? And I think in a lot of ways, this speaks to that human perspective that says, wait a minute, if God is so good, and if God is so mighty, then why is there evil in the world? How can this be? And the answer is very simple. It's because of humanity's sin that there's evil in the world. It doesn't reflect the heart and character of God. We know he is good. We know that from the scripture, but I suspect for many of us, for most of us, we can affirm that even in our own experience. God is good. The things of God are the things that are blessings. But you wonder sometimes, well, if Jesus triumphed over evil on the cross, well then why is it flourishing? Like right here in our nation, why do we see things that are evil and sinful being flaunted? Being celebrated, being put on the platform. How can this be? Because we live in a broken world. Because of sin that has entered into God's good creation that affects each and every one of us. So that ultimately, each and every one has fallen short and have sinned and stand in need of a Savior, stand in need of forgiveness. See, the people in Jesus' time, they assumed that when the Messiah came, like, he would just, like, give a shout or blow a whistle or whatever, and, like, evil would be gone. They just assumed that when he comes, he's going to just upturn everything. He's going to make everything right immediately. But this parable helps us understand even further that that time is coming, but it's coming later. That when Jesus came, his advent, he brought in the good news of the kingdom. When Jesus comes again, he will bring judgment. All the nations will be judged. And so I mentioned this a moment ago, but I want to take note of this again. It's in verse 28 where the farmer tells his servants, don't pull up the weeds. They said, you want to go pull them up? Verse 29, he answers, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with it. He says, verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. Any attempt to get the weeds out is going to cause damage to the crop. And can I just suggest that this is played out far too many times in churches? In churches. When the goal and the mission is to root out those who don't agree with your perspective. When you're trying to root out those who they don't align with the way you view some particular issue or stance or belief or lifestyle. And your goal is to root them out. What does it do to the church? It causes damage. When the mission of the workers is to pull up the weeds and root those out, it uproots the whole system. Jesus says, leave that to me. The harvesters will do their job. It's not right now, it's later. He says, let both grow together. I just want us to be clear on this. The work of judgment belongs to Christ. That is not our work. That is not what he has given us to do. That is not our mission. He has told us to live, to grow, to thrive, to flourish, to shine until he comes again. And that day is going to come. And we will be gathered up and joined together with him for all of eternity. And those who haven't chosen Jesus as Lord, well, their fate is gruesome, isn't it? The weeds will be separated out. They'll be thrown into the blazing furnace. But when Jesus says, let them both grow together, it's almost like you see here, he's really more interested in growth than he is in extermination. Let them grow. He's willing to be patient. So I would encourage us and challenge us this morning, as followers of Jesus, we should be the same way. Be patient. Be patient with people. Even the weeds. Even the ones that are thorny. No, to do a deep dive here, the Greek word that's used here is aphiemi. A-P-H-I-E-M-I. Aphiemi. It's a verb. It's the verb of where he says, let them grow. Let them. The verb aphiemi means to leave alone. But it can also mean forgive. Aphiemi, that's a great translation of this word, contextually speaking. Like it's the word Jesus uses in Luke 23, 34, when he's on the cross and he says, Father, aphiemi them, for they know not what they do. This is the word used here in this parable. When he says, let them grow, it could very easily be translated as forgive them. Don't take offense. Don't write them off. I mean, if even from the cross, Jesus was unwilling to pull up the weeds, how much more should you and I today say we're not about rooting out and pulling up and causing destruction? Let them grow as we grow and as God does good things in our lives. Forgive them even in their ignorance. Again, that's what our Lord Jesus said. Exemplified for us. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so, guys, it is really easy and it's really tempting to condemn the world. The pagans, the unbelievers, the unrighteous. Be patient. Forgive them. Now is not the time or the hour to root them out and throw them into the fire. That time is coming. It's at the end of the age. I just wonder if maybe even showing this kind of grace is exactly what distinguishes the wheat from the weeds. And so this morning, I want to point out three things that we can learn from this parable. The parable of the weeds. What does it teach us? What does it mean? What can we learn from it? The first is that God's people stay alert. Now, why do I say that? Well, when I say we are not to appoint ourselves as judge, we're not to award salvation or damnation by our own standards, by our own perspective, That doesn't mean that we ignore the Bible's clear teachings on the gospel, on Christ, salvation, the good news of God's kingdom, the life, the ministry, the teaching, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. We cling to those things. We stand on those things. We proclaim those things, eyes wide open. And the scriptures affirm that over and over and over. They tell us, be alert, stay awake, have eyes to see, ears to hear. But you'll notice in this story, this parable of the weeds, the enemy goes to work when the people of God are asleep. You catch that? What had happened if there had been a guard standing watch over the field, taking the night shift, and that enemy came strolling up? Nope, not tonight, buddy. This field's being protected and watched over. See, the enemy gets to work when God's people are asleep. And so I am encouraging us to stay awake, to stay informed. One of the things that it's important for really each and every one of us to stay on guard against is false teachers. And I want to be really clear on what I'm sharing with us this morning. No, I am not to designate where each person will spend eternity. Absolutely not. That's not my job. We leave that to Christ. However, as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a church leader, I'm called to protect those that are under my care, that are under my influence and under my teaching. And so I've got to be on guard against counterfeit leaders, a counterfeit gospel, counterfeit teaching, because here's what we recognize in this parable. Those things have been planted by Satan himself. See, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world. So we're talking a spiritual war. We're talking be alert, be on guard against Satan and his schemes. Because it's our enemy who tries to convince us of a counterfeit gospel. And when we buy into that, we are led astray. And so, no, we're not going to sit by idly and allow false teaching and a counterfeit gospel and things that are not true to influence our children and our friends and our church family. We stay alert. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So that's the first thing I wanted to point out this morning is the people of God stay awake and stay alert. We learn that from this parable of the weeds in Matthew chapter 13. The second is that God's people produce fruit, because only the wheat in this parable is of value, right? So we've got one field, two different things planted in, two different organic matter items planted in it. One, the wheat, is of great value. The other, the weeds, are good for nothing. They are a counterfeit, in fact. They look really similar to the wheat. But see, here's God's heart and desire is that his people, the people of his kingdom, would bear much spiritual fruit. Jesus says that really clearly in John 15 and verse 8. He says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So yeah, these weeds that were planted in the field, they were essentially counterfeit wheat. They looked very similar. It's hard to distinguish between the two. You can't in their early stages of growth. It's only until they reach full maturity that you can see the difference, until you reach the time of harvest. So most likely this was something called darnel or poison ryegrass. The scientific name is Lolium temeluntum. Temelentum, and it's poisonous. It's a poisonous weed. It's actually lethal for humans and for animals if consumed. It's deadly. Roman law actually forbade sowing this poisonous, noxious weed in the field of another person. It was that dangerous and that deadly. And so, when this would occur, the solution is let it grow, because we can't tell the difference between the weeds and the wheat until the time of harvest, and we will harvest it all, and then we will be able to separate out the weeds from the wheat. And really, that's the point, is there is a difference. They may look similar, but there's a difference. You can wear matching sneakers, but people can tell you apart. There's a difference between the wheat and the weeds. One is deadly. The other is a life-sustaining harvest. It reminds me of the story of a woman. And she pulled up behind a few vehicles at a red light. She was in a hurry. And so she waits and the light turns green, but she notices the cars in front of her are not going. And so she gives that little, hey. They're still not going. Someone has fallen asleep or is distracted. In fact, they wait so long, the light turns red again before she's able to get through the intersection. So now she is fuming mad. She is laying on the horn, window is down, and she's using every word in the book to tell these people what she thinks of them and their driving habits. She's making such a commotion, all of a sudden a policeman shows up on the scene. He arrests her immediately, takes her down to the station. She's placed in a holding cell. Several hours later, he comes back in, kind of head hanging low. He unlocks the door and he says, "You're free to go. I'm really sorry, ma'am. It was just a giant mistake." He says, "You see, I came up behind you when you were screaming and yelling and cussing out that fellow in front of you, and I noticed the car had a WWJD sticker on it, so I just assumed you stole it." Sometimes we might have the sticker on the car. We might have the right nice Sunday polished look. But it's for Jesus to determine the wheat from the weeds. We can be surrendered to Christ, or we can live in the flesh. In fact, I came across a great quote from St. Augustine I wanted to share this morning. He once said, "Those who are weeds today may be wheat tomorrow." And again, here's the point. Our job is to love. It's God's job to judge. Christ will do that. He will do that work of judgment. In fact, that leads us to our third and final point this morning, which is God's people wait for the day of judgment. Jesus is giving a warning here to his people. It is not yours to judge the souls of other people. It is Christ who will bring that judgment, and he will do so at the end of the age. Now, he has given us a job to do. So you say, if our job isn't judgment, what is our job? It's to make disciples. It's to make much of him. It's to grow in our walk with him and grow in our obedience to him. But yes, to be clear, part of the good news of the gospel is that judgment is coming. And we're all deserving of the wrath of God based on our sin. But praise God, those of us who are in Christ are forgiven. So God's people, we wait for that day of judgment. And all the more reason why we should stay laser focused on our mission, which is to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. Because the day is coming when it will be too late. Clarence Jackson won the Connecticut Lotto jackpot. It was worth $5.8 million. Almost 6 million big ones. But when he submitted his winning lotto ticket, he did it 3 days after the deadline had passed. It was a one-year window of time from the day the lottery numbers were picked. Clarence says he realized he had the winning ticket 15 minutes before the midnight deadline of 1 year. And he didn't realize he could just take it down to the lotto dealer to redeem it for $6 million. He thought he had to go to some lottery headquarters, and it was the weekend. And he said, "I just decided to wait until Monday." And you know how much he got? He was too late. He missed out on $6 million by that much. He was too late. He got nothing. The prize that could have been his went unclaimed. And so it will be at the end of the age. The scriptures say those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. At the end of the age, it's too late. That's not the time for people to say, wait a minute, I want to serve Jesus. I want to give my life to him. No, you had that opportunity. The prophets came and foretold the Messiah. The good news is revealed in the scripture, in the word of God. Maybe you had a friend or a neighbor or a relative who was a part of God's kingdom. And you didn't listen and you didn't care. And on that day, God is going to harvest the wheat as well, my friends. What good news that he's going to bring his people home. Scriptures say the righteous will shine like the sun. Vindication for those who have been persecuted and mistreated. And so, yes, we wait for his return. We wait for the judgment of God. And in so doing, we urge everyone to put their trust in him. Here's what Acts 17:31 tells us. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. God has appointed that day. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But he's coming. So we hear in this parable that the field is the world. Might I just suggest this morning, God has planted you right where he wants you, in his world. There's this fantastic prayer in John chapter 17. It's Jesus, and he's praying for his disciples. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. He says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And he says, as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. So nope, we're not removed. In fact, the weeds aren't even uprooted at this point, are they? But we recognize we have been sent, we have been planted for God's purposes, for God's glory, as we sang this morning. And how do we go about being in the world but not being of the world? By keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. By growing and maturing as we look to him and put our trust in him. And in so doing, we fulfill the purpose for which God has planted us here. We are bearing fruit, we are obeying God's word, and we are reflecting his character to a world so desperately in need of the Lord. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this story told by our Lord Jesus and the deep spiritual truths therein. Thank you for this good news that as we put our trust in you, Lord, we can just grow and flourish and shine for you, knowing the day is coming when you will separate the wheat from the weeds. And so, Lord, help us, convict us in the places where we've been judgmental. Lord, that's your job. That you've called us to love and to make disciples. And Lord, by your spirit within us, we will do so. And we know that it's for our good and for your glory. We long to make much of you, O God. Be honored and glorified today and in the days that lie ahead in our hearts, in our families, in our homes, in this church, in this community, in this nation, and in the world. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your love for us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.